Profile interview.
Profile interview, 9 minutes after 9 o'clock. Linda, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here in the studio. I'm glad you made your way here. And tell us about Sorbet. To someone who is not as familiar with the brand, you're the chief executive of Sorbet. And, you know, at times some people don't know much about it because they've seen Sorbet passing by. They've seen the branding, but they're thinking, what is Sorbet? How would you define it as the CEO?
It's actually interesting because a lot of people think we're an ice cream brand. And I think that's always been around since inception. You know, Everyone was like, what is this ice cream brand all about? Yes. So I'll clear up that perception of what Sorbet is. So yeah, we're 18 years young this year, as I call it.
Now you're ready to vote.
Exactly. Yeah. We are ready to vote now. So started by an amazing entrepreneur called Ian Furr. He started in the beauty industry 18 years ago, as we say, nearly 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think he saw the opportunity to create a branded beauty offering in South Africa. You know, you see them globally, but we didn't have a beauty offering that was a branded beauty offering in South Africa. And he saw the opportunity and, as they say, took it with both hands, and the rest is history. So we've got about just short of 200 stores now across South Africa, which is amazing, across five brands. So it's not just Sorbet, there's Sorbet Man. So please come and visit us. We'd love to have you there.
I certainly will. I've tried to set up an appointment, but I didn't follow through. It was all my fault. So what do you offer in these 200 outlets?
So predominantly our main focus is around female grooming. Mm-hmm. So everything from nails, facials, waxing, hair. We've got a hair bar brand as well, Sorbet Hair Bar, which focuses on hair. We've got our nail bars. We've got our Sorbet Man brand. Mm-hmm. And we've also got a beautiful brand called Candy & Co, which focuses on black hair, which is predominantly experts within the black hair space. Yes. So fantastic array of brands that we have in our stable. Obviously the bulk of our business comes through our Sorbet salons. We offer beauty and grooming needs, but we also offer the emotional side of what beauty brings. You know, the physical side is what we actually do, but the emotional side is really about how do we touch people's lives in South Africa. And that has been our higher purpose since the inception of this brand, and it's been something that has driven us. It's our North Star. So how do we make a fundamental difference to the lives of South Africans, not only our employees or what we call citizens, our citizens of Sorbet, our employees, which we love, but more importantly to our guests as well, that that visit us. Last year, we did over 3.7 million treatments in South Africa.
Whoa.
So we made 3.7 million people feel amazing.
Amazing. 3.7.
We look forward to doing more of that into the future. As you say, there's so much negativity out there.
Certainly.
How can we support South Africans and have a positive impact on the lives of so many beautiful people in the
country? It's a contested terrain, the beauty industry, is it? And it's not very easy as it sounds. It's touch and go, especially in a country like South Africa. There are sensitivities to take into consideration. How do you ensure that you maintain your salient feature as a brand that stands out and immediately clicks with an ordinary South African?
Yeah, I think, you know, this brand, as we said, was built on a purpose. You know, it was really about, you know, touching lives and making a meaningful difference to people's lives. You know, and I think that's been part of our success over the years. You know, we've been very innovative in our processes, in what we offer in terms of treatments, understanding really what our guests needs, and innovating and making sure we continually innovate to provide what the people of South Africa are looking for in terms of their beauty and grooming needs, and being at the forefront and driving that innovation. So I think that's been important in terms of our growth and our success, and we'll continue to do so moving forward. You know, we're seeing the world digitizing its space. Unfortunately or fortunately, you can't digitize a wax. So we're very fortunate. You know, we are all about, you know, that personal engagement and that personal touch. But yes, there are opportunities to digitize and to create and enhance that experience when people come into our stores as well.
What are some of your maybe top three offerings where you're saying this is where we are most busy?
So nails is definitely the core of our business. So, you know, manicures and pedicures. And especially we're seeing that growth coming through in the male grooming space as well.
Yes,
that we love.
Yes,
so men
yes.
are grooming a lot more than they used to. And in particular around manis and pedis.
Yes.
So that is the core of our business.
I must concede I'm one of those. I have warmed up to that to make sure that my nails don't look like I work at some construction site. So,
brilliant.
Yeah. So nails.
So nails is predominantly our core of our business.
Yeah.
Then followed followed by waxing, which is interesting.
Really?
So hair removal and hair treatments as well. So through our Sorbet Man and through our hair bar space, we offer hair treatments and like color cut, blow waves, etc.
Yeah.
Is what our core focus is as well within the hair space, which is fantastic.
And I mean, we are living in South Africa and so many things have happened. And you've mentioned Candy Cole as well with a specific focus on African hair and so on to create a diversity of offerings and also not to fall foul of the law, but also more importantly to create an embracing environment that is. So having said that, it simply means that you have to take a particular care of your offerings to make sure that there's an element of inclusivity.
100%.
That can be easy because generally with a business, you choose your target market and you go for it. So as a CEO at your level, your strategy sessions must be quite something to look out for.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. You know, Sorbet is all about inclusivity and diversity.
Yeah.
And we have got a very strong culture of creating initiatives for growth and development, skills development within our business. You know, we employ just over 3,000 people across all of our stores, across our franchise stores. Yeah. And, you know, recently we offer about 126 training courses every single month to our people to ensure that they are skilled and upskilled across the various requirements that they need to offer the necessary treatments and services that we do within our business. And that is a core focus for us, you know, in terms of growth and development, providing initiatives and socioeconomic initiatives to help our citizens better themselves, to grow, to develop, to ensure that they are delivering what our guests want and that incredible experience that you get when you visit a Sorbet store.
Certainly.
And I think most importantly for us is about how do we continue to bring people into the industry to create skills for the beauty industry. And it's part of our philosophy. It's part of what we do. It's part of our various initiatives. But also, how do we provide other opportunities for our employees or our citizens so that they can grow and develop themselves? And we've just literally launched our inaugural initiative called Sorbet Premier, which is about providing opportunities for our current citizens who would like to own their own franchise one day. And
that is
we've
fantastic.
Partnered with Bidvest Bank, and we have now awarded four of our citizens the opportunity to own their own Sorbet franchise, which is just part of who we are. It's part
that
of our social economic upliftment and our drive for entrepreneurship and empowerment, which is so important.
How many of those do you own?
So of the Sorbet brand, we own four stores as a corporate stores,
yes,
and all the rest of them are franchised.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's
very
pretty generous.
Yeah.
Definitely. That is pretty generous. I mean, usually it would be over 50%. That's quite interesting. It's 17 minutes after 9 o'clock. My guest is Linda Sinclair, who's the chief executive at Sorbet Group. And we are on a profile feature on 702. Let's Walk the Talk. You might have used the brand and you might have interacted with it directly or otherwise. And it could be that you are questioning what people call a metrosexual. And you're saying, why do guys now do their nails? And Linda is an expert in answering all those questions and more. But that's not the intent, primary intent at least, of the interview. The primary intent is to speak to the lady herself and find out more about her. Speaking of which, Linda, how did you enter the space? And when was that? Did something really push you? Were you always attracted to the beauty space?
So interestingly enough, I came from food franchising.
Yeah. Really?
But I think, you know, this is about my love for franchising.
Yes.
And
yes.
to create business opportunities for people within South Africa. Mm. You know, franchising is exactly that. You create independent business owners to have the opportunity to create, run their businesses within the framework of a franchise environment, which has been tried and tested and proven, which provides the success for what franchising is all about. So it was really, it's about my love for creating opportunities for people to own their own businesses, to run their own businesses and create employment opportunities within South Africa, which is so needed. Because as you know, from your previous conversation and your previous piece on the radio recently, you know, employment opportunities and creating employment opportunities is so critical for South Africa. So how can we be a part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Yeah.
So, and that's really
so
important.
So you left
for
the
us.
Food industry and entered the space. Were you headhunted to come to Sorbet?
So yeah, I was approached to say, you know, you love franchising. Yeah. Would you like to enter into the beauty industry? And, you know, I've always had a love and a passion for beauty.
Yes.
You know, my entire life.
Yes.
And, you know, it was when it was an area and a category that I would have loved to have worked in. And it was a natural progression for me going from the industry from food, from franchising and food to franchising and beauty. And I've absolutely loved the journey. I started 10 days before we went into lockdown.
Oh, really?
So it was a very stressful time.
I can imagine.
You know, I think the learnings that we took out of it and seeing this brand through a different vision of, you know, of a pandemic, you know, really decides and, you know, you kind of look at the business and unpack it quite differently in terms of saying, how do we sustain success long term? How do we get out of a pandemic, which we have and we have done successfully, which has been amazing. And it just shows you the power of this beautiful brand, Sorbet, and the love that this brand has by so many South Africans. And we want to continue. We're now out of that. We are on the way to the future, and we're looking to grow our footprint. And it is all about, you know, having that hope, having that belief, and really trusting in what we can create in this country, which is more entrepreneurs.
Certainly.
And many, many more entrepreneurs and employment opportunities through our brand, Sorbet.
Joe Berger, Cape Townian.
Durbanites.
The third one. Really, really.
Yeah, born and bred and, you know, studied.
Where about that side?
So in Morningside.
Okay.
You know, that's predominantly where I came from.
Okay.
I was born in Pietermaritzburg.
Oh, okay.
And then moved the when capital, I was 18 months. Yes, the capital.
Yeah.
But yeah, born and bred, schooled in Durban and went to university at KZN University.
Yeah.
So yeah, an amazing, and then came up to Johannesburg in 2000. So really, this is my home. I've
this
been
is
here
home
longer.
Now.
Than I intended to be, but absolutely love the dynamic nature of Gauteng.
Certainly.
And what it brings in terms of opportunities, which is fantastic.
And is this what you studied, the business side?
So I actually studied in marketing. I'm predominantly a marketer by trade.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, in my previous world, I headed up marketing for an organization, which was fantastic. And I had, you know, amazing and incredible opportunities there.
Yeah.
And yes, really getting in touch with your consumer and understanding who your consumer is.
Yes.
Really resonating and providing products and services that really resonate with your consumers is at the heart of what I love doing.
Sure.
And that creativity and that innovation and that innovative side is really incredible. So, and that's what the beauty industry provides.
Certainly.
Is the opportunity for innovation, because it is an ever-evolving consumer demands,
constantly.
Consumer beauty needs are always evolving. And it's how do you keep up with that through various innovations and various initiatives that you can implement.
And is that
space.
What you wanted to study, Linda? Because marketing is so out there. One would say, hey, I wanted to be a lawyer, I wanted to be a doctor, I wanted to be, you always thought of marketing in high school. Is that the path that you had chosen?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, you know, I had two aspects, two strengths. One was around mathematics and the other one was around art, which was the most bizarre thing.
Yes.
So kind of bringing those two disciplines together, you know, marketing was an amazing, amazing journey to go to. And, you know, it was allowed me to fulfill my creativity, but also understand the financial side and the return on investment and what that brought to the table. So it was a beautiful place that I kind of transitioned into. I started in the medical industry,
really?
And I transitioned into the food industry and now into the
beauty industry. And then ultimately into...
Here we are.
And, you know, whenever you say to parents that this is what you want to study, there's a bit of a hesitation. Why don't you become a lawyer? They make more money and so on. Didn't you get some hesitation at home when you wanted to go this route?
Not at all. You know, my mother was a teacher.
Oh, really?
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, my father was from England, so interestingly enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, they always had the faith and the belief that, you know, you need to follow your dreams.
Yes.
Because if you're not passionate about what you do, you know, ultimately, you know, you need to fulfill your dreams and live the life that you want to live.
Yeah.
You know, not what we tell you to live.
Yes.
And I think that's always so important, is that, you know, they gave us the space to fulfill our dreams.
And it's rare for teachers to do that because teachers are quite strict. They also want you to become a teacher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So definitely the opportunity to forge my own career path is what I was given, and fortunately enough by my family.
Yeah. And the kind of upbringing that you had, was it typical Durbanite upbringing, laid back and chilled? Was it that sort of thing?
Interestingly enough, I actually grew up in most of my upbringing. I grew up as a figure skater.
Oh, really?
Which is something that not many South Africans do. They always think Durban, hot.
Yes.
How did you ever ice skate and where did you ice skate?
Yes.
So it was such a different. My dad was a figure skater from the UK. And I think, you know, it was that love and passion for performance and for art. And, you know, that was also in us, in all of us. It was integral.
Yeah.
So I grew up working very, very hard.
Yeah.
Even on holidays, we would do our shows and training and, you know, competing both for our country as well.
Mm.
So, you know, we had a very kind of sporty upbringing and a very disciplined upbringing because, you know, it's focused around sport. You know, you've got to get up early, you train early, can't do your typical Durban, lie on the beach all day, go to the beach all day, party like you would as a youngster. And I think that just really helped in terms of, you know, who I am and my career and really driving that discipline. Because honestly, you know, one of my philosophies is all around hard work.
Mm.
And, you know, you don't always have to be the cleverest person in the room.
Yes.
But if you work hard and you apply yourself, you know, the opportunities and you follow your dreams to make a difference in people's lives, I believe you can follow your dreams
and
you can create that.
Is that your leadership style at Sobe as the CEO, wherein you surround yourself with people who may know more than you or know things that you are not necessarily exposed to? And what kind of leadership do you provide?
So I think franchising provides you that naturally.
Yeah.
You surround yourself. We've got 200 stores. We've got just short of 180 franchise partners. And they're on the ground every single day running their businesses and really driving the brand and forging the brand forward.
Mm.
And the incredible part is how much you learn from your franchise partners that run their businesses every single day. And, you know, they guide your thinking through this process because they are the people on the ground.
Mm.
And, you know, I think it would be remiss of any person or any CEO not to listen and not to take into account what they are saying, what they're hearing, what the guests or the customers are saying to them, what our citizens are saying around what we need to do, how we can improve. That really drives the strategic thinking. So I'm surrounded by 180 people who know always know a lot more than I do every single day.
Yes, yes.
And you know, it's so important that you know, you're never going to have the knowledge that everybody else, you know, has as one person.
Yeah.
And it's that combination of knowledge and strength that all of our franchise partners and our people at Support Office bring to the table that really provides a sounding board for growth and for opportunities that we can leverage and take forward and continue to grow the brand.
It sounds to me as though you do not necessarily have an issue with other people knowing more than you. It sounds to me as though you don't want to be necessarily a dominant one because of the title that you have. And also, it brings me back to perhaps your upbringing. Did that contribute to that?
100%.
Did you have siblings? And
I do.
What was this?
Yeah, I've got an older sister.
Okay.
And she lives in Cape Town. And she followed the path that my father did of figure skating.
Oh.
A very talented, creative woman in her own right. And, you know, also what she does is she teaches. So she also followed the path of what my mother did. And so she teaches, you know, people to figure skate and to ice skate. That is her passion. That is where her path took her.
And growing up together, sibling rivalry, was it there?
Yes and no.
Okay.
You know, I think, you know, we didn't have that typical sibling rivalry.
Yeah.
I suppose the only time you really saw it was when we were both on the ice competing against each other. And I suppose that's natural when two siblings compete for the same sport and compete together.
And who would win?
My sister all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
I think we followed different paths in our lives. And, you know, we both, you know, doing what we love and what we're passionate about, which I think is so important for anybody, you know, that wants to follow their dreams and their career.
Yeah. I'm asking that deliberately. It may seem as though it's a benign question, but generally how we are exposed and socialized at a very young age. I often mention that home is the biggest school, the parents are the biggest teachers, and that influences how we carry ourselves in the future. Not always, but it plays a significant role in how we treat others, how we carry ourselves, who we become, and our values, and so on. And so is in those formative years, is that when your values were established
100%.
From your parents?
you know, we came from very, very, very humble upbringing. Mm. I mean, very humble upbringing. Mm. You know, with my mother being a breadwinner as a school teacher.
Yeah.
And I think that really taught me the value of hard work.
Yeah.
And what it means to really just, you know, stay focused on what you want to achieve. And it's not always about the financial reward, but yes, it's about what can you do to make a difference to other people and to your own life. Mm. And I think that really, you know, defined who I was as a person, around, you know, not taking things for granted.
Yes.
Understanding that, you know, you've got to buckle down and put the hard yards in, yeah, because it's not going to come easy.
Sure.
And, you know, to be able to have a better life for yourself.
Yeah.
What do you need to do to create that?
Mm.
Because I came from an extremely difficult upbringing,
yeah,
a very humble upbringing, as I said. And, you know, how do you get out of that and create opportunities for yourself so that you can provide other opportunities, sure, for your own family one day so they don't have to struggle like you did in your upbringing? And I think that was really critical to my to who I am now today. And that's why I've always worked hard, because I understand that hard work will get you places. And, you know, things don't come easy.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
when you fall down, you've got to pick yourself up,
yeah,
you know, brush yourself off and move on.
And
because,
move on,
I mean,
yeah,
that's, you know, really what life is all about. It's
sure
going to be, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
There's always going to be challenges, but it's about how do you overcome those challenges?
Yeah.
How do you pick yourself up and how do you move on?
And the figure of mum being a breadwinner defies the ordinary or the convention, if you will, that often it's dad who's a breadwinner.
Yeah.
And to a large extent, it may somehow skew or alter the way you look at things. And this brings me to you being a female CEO.
Yeah.
And in a patriarchal society that we find ourselves in, we do not have as many female CEOs.
Yeah.
And you've seen the CEO. You were raised by a CEO or a female CEO in your family.
Yeah.
And does that come into play when you are in this male-dominated space of people at the helm of corporate?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's always been a challenge, I think, for women, you know, generally in corporate environments. I think what's beautiful about the beauty industry and, you know, and the space that we play in now is that there is, you know, the equality side of it is an absolutely incredible. So in the industry that we're in now, even within the sorbet environment, you know, we treat women and men equally.
Mm.
And, you know, this industry is predominantly for women and it's run by women predominantly.
Yes, yes.
So I think that's what's been so beautiful about entering the beauty industry is the female focus that it has and allowing women to grow, allowing women to become entrepreneurs, to become business leaders, to become business owners, and continually being successful within the beauty industry. And I think that's been amazing in terms of the industry that we're in. My previous industries were always very male dominated.
Yeah.
And, you know, how you had a seat at the table and how you showed up every day was important. And they would, you know, that was critical to, in order to you, for you to define your success and determine your success.
Mm.
But what's beautiful about this industry is around the equality and the inclusivity that this industry brings. And I absolutely love it. Love it, and continue want to grow that.
You know, the more the cement between the bricks, you know, the brick and mortar issues often come with things that we take very lightly in life. And you told us about your philosophies, and I'm just wondering, some of the songs that you listen to, Linda, alone in the car, and something that keeps you going, and you might have a difficult day in the office, and a beautiful song that keeps you going.
Yeah, you know, the people who know me well know that I love Journey and Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
But I think because it also comes down to, you know, what I've just said previously, you know, have the belief, have the faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't stop believing.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a country, in a very volatile country at the moment.
Mm.
But, you know, we've got to continue to live in hope and drive the opportunities that we find ourselves and that are presented to us. And how do we create those opportunities for South Africans? And, you know, at Sorbet, that's been integral for us over the last 18 years. And we will continue to see what opportunities we can create through various entrepreneur initiatives, through various socioeconomic upliftment initiatives that are so close to our heart. And how can we create those opportunities? So don't stop believing, keep going, and I promise you now, you will find your dreams one day if you stick to it and work hard. So definitely, journey, don't stop believing.
Don't Stop Believing, and this is a song that was chosen by Linda Sinclair, Chief Executive Officer at Sorbet Group. And so believing goes a long way for you, really. And that simply means that you must also believe in the people who do the work for you, people who toil every single day. So belief, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the belief in our people is so important.
Yeah.
You know, being able to create differences in other people's lives is, you know, so close to my heart. And
sure.
I believe in that every single day.
Yeah.
It's what gets me out of bed every morning is to how, you know, I always say to the people, because when I train on culture within Sorbet, I always say to them, what's your why? What gets you? Why do you get up out of bed every day?
Yeah.
Why did you become a franchise partner? Why did you become a nail tech? Why did you become a beauty therapist or a hairdresser or a barber or whatever it might be? And, you know, fundamentally, the answer is always the same. I just want to make a difference in somebody's life. And I think that's what's so beautiful about, you know, the industry in which we operate. And, you know, I see it in our franchise partners. We have got so many of them that are just absolutely passionate and committed about driving this brand forward, and in particular through what we call our citizens, which are the heartbeat of our business. They're our people, they're the heartbeat of our business. You know, they're really what makes us successful every single day.
Certainly.
And, you know, consistently investing in them and providing opportunities for them to grow and through various training initiatives, through various development initiatives, has been really part of our success and will continue to be part of our success and our passion and what keeps us going every single day and answers our why.
Certainly.
You know, and, you know, we started, Ian started an initiative called the SO Foundation, which stands for Sorbet Empowering Women and Men, a couple of years ago or many years ago. And, you know, that's been a, you know, that was really about allowing people who would never being able to study or afford to study, you know, to become beauty therapists or be able to enter the industry, the opportunity to learn the skills, develop the skills, and put them through a training initiative that was funded by Sorbet.
Okay.
And today we've put about 146 people through what we call the SO Foundation. And we've upskilled or skilled people and provided them employment opportunities to either enter the beauty industry and obviously enter Sorbet
or
at the same
their
time.
Own entity.
Or start their own entities, and we've had many of them go on and start their own businesses, which is absolutely amazing. You know, and that's been our way of giving back to the industry, is to create the skills and consistently create the skills, you know, for people who'd like to enter the beauty industry but have never been able to afford it because of their financial situation. So through the SO Foundation, that was the initial kind of investment that we made into the industry and into creating employment opportunities for people, which is really amazing, and giving back to the society and to the communities.
It's 20 minutes to 10 o'clock. If you want to interact with us and you want to speak to Linda, and perhaps you have interfaced with Sorbet outlet, one or the other, or you just want to ask for a tip from the CEO, or there's any issue that you want to raise, feel free to do so. The number to dial is 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Alternatively, you can also send a text message or a voice note, not exceeding 60 seconds, to 072-702 072 072 702 1702, and in that way we can have you interacting with Linda Sinclair, the CEO of Sorbet, and I'm sure that you have one way or the other, directly or otherwise, interacted with Sorbet Group, and you know their offering already. And we are speaking to Linda also about her journey, her life. What is it that she wakes up to? How does she get herself motivated? And as you have heard, I'm battling to get her to speak about herself, because every time I try, she comes back to Sorbet. Every time I ask about where she grew up, she'll find a way to bring it back to Sorbet.
I love the brand. I love the brand.
I can imagine that you're a real CEO. Hey, you don't leave it behind. You don't leave it behind. So 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. On Twitter, the station handle is at Radio 702. Mine is at I am free TSM, at I am free TSM, hashtag the AM show, and we continue the discussion with Linda. I'm just thinking about your employees, and not just your employees, but your partners as well. When you're talking about a franchise, it simply means that you have interesting partners. Their failures become yours. Yeah. And that's how an ordinary South Africans get to judge you as the group through a franchise. And you've mentioned that you have over 200 and you own just a little bit as a group in that entity. How do you handle complaints? Because for me, that's what makes or breaks the business. Yeah. Often, huge businesses.
Yeah.
The more they grow, the more they ignore complaints. The more you don't matter as one person, because they've got a whole host of individuals following them. How do you handle criticism? How do you handle complaints as a group?
Yeah, so I think that's also, thank you for that. I mean, that's been integral to the success of Sorbet. You know, we've got this deep inherent passion for service and for putting our money where our mouth is. On all of our walls and all of our stores, we've got what we call our Sorbet Promise, which pretty much states that if you're not happy about your treatment, you don't have to pay for it.
Oh.
And, you know, there's very few businesses that are prepared to put that up loud and proud on the wall.
Yes.
And, you know, that really is an indictment of our faith and our belief that we have in our citizens or our employees and our franchise partners to run successful businesses. So ultimately how we deal with complaints is we want to fix it then and there, at the store, when the issue happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, our Sorbet Promise is exactly that. It's our commitment to our guests and to our people that we are serious about service and we are dedicated and committed to providing the best possible service out there. And yes, sometimes we don't get it right.
Sure.
You know, we deal with people, we are about people, and, you know, of course, we're not going to get it right 100% of the time. But, you know, we've got a philosophy that deal with it right then and there so that the guest is happy.
Yeah.
We can fix it, we can sort it out, and we can manage it, and we can move on.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it doesn't always happen. And then we have a guest complaints line, and fantastic people that sit at support office that we deal with those various complaints as we need to. And we deal with them through our franchise network. You know, they are the business owners, they run their stores, they run their businesses, they know their guests inside and out. And, you know, the best possible way is for them to manage it on the ground. And if they can't, then we obviously step in and support through that process. But yeah, it's always interesting, you know, to provide consistency across a franchise network, you know, is always difficult in any franchise environment, you know, and that's why we go through such a rigorous training program with our franchise partners and with our citizens around what our guest experience needs to be, what we need to deliver on. And yeah, we don't always get it right.
Yeah.
But, you know, for us, the most important thing is how do we fix it and fix it quickly?
Yeah. And learn
and
from
make
it.
Sure, yeah, and pick the pieces and learn from it, understand the learning, and move on. And, you know, so we don't make the same mistakes consistently over and over and over again.
Yes.
You know, so that's really, you know, our Sorbet Promise that sits loud and proud on our wall keeps us all honest. It keeps us focused. And, you know, I hear a lot of the citizens say to me, you know, that's what drives my excellence. I just want to be excellent in every treatment that I give my guest.
Yes.
So that I don't have to worry about, you know, that Sorbet Promise, which is beautiful because that talks to the passionate service that is part of who we are and what we call our soul of Sorbet, which is our culture.
Competition.
Yes.
It's a very competitive industry. Every single person thinks that they can do better than new. And in that way, how do you stay ahead of the competition? There are various brands that are coming up that may think that they are advanced, they are modern, they are current, they've got the vibe.
Yeah.
And often people learn from those who have been in the industry for quite some time, such as you, and they want to beat you at the game by taking everything else and capitalizing on your mistakes and being better than you. How do you remain ahead of competition?
Yeah, I mean, this industry is very fragmented. I mean, there's lots of independent salons out there, you know, lots. I think, you know, ones that we know of, some that we don't even know of, you know, especially that's, you know, sitting in kind of the more informal sector around beauty, you know. So I think beauty is everywhere that you look, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, quite frankly.
Yes.
So, you know, there's been a lot of brands that have entered the beauty industry, over the years. And yeah, they've tried to do what Sorbet has. And, you know, it's always been the question that gets asked to myself and even Ian previously, mostly Ian previously, is how do you remain successful? What's been part of your success through your kind of journey at Sorbet through your time? And it always comes down to one thing. You know, we can all offer nail services. We can all offer waxing. We can all offer facials, but it's about the guest experience.
Mm.
And it's about what you offer when you are in that environment. You know, hygiene is a critical piece within our business, and even, you know, it stood us in good stead when we went into COVID, because we had to make very few changes in terms of our hygiene protocols to accommodate COVID. And that's just because as an industry we focus, and as a brand we focused on hygiene. But more importantly, what is that engagement that your citizens have, or your employees have, or your therapists, or your nail techs or barbers have with your guests? And how do we create that experience? Because we're not just about selling a product, we're about selling an experience.
Sure.
And, you know, keeping that experience alive has really been incredible in terms of our competitive advantage, but also staying ahead in terms of trends, what we need to do, understanding what's happening globally, bringing it to South Africa. I mean, for example, our hair bar space was originally dry bars.
Mm.
That was an innovative concept. We were the first brand to bring a fully fledged male grooming salon, a branded fully fledged male grooming salon to the South African market. You know, there were lots of barbers and, you know, hairdressers, etc., but a very few opportunities for men to have a full grooming experience.
Yeah. And I want to talk about it specifically.
So finding those opportunities to bring to market has always been so part of our success and part of our journey. And I think having a brilliant retail offering that supports our treatment offering has also been part of our unique kind of proposition, where we get the retail side right as well as the engagement and the treatments right with our guests. And, you know, that's the balance that we have within Sorbet.
I want us to talk about the male side of grooming, the male grooming side, and metrosexuals doing the nails, pedicures, and everything else, because that is a very interesting aspect of the business on its own, and it brings about its own challenges, and it says that you have to then think differently as opposed to what you've been doing. You have this clientele that has been established. How do you bring in people and convince them that, listen, come and do your nails every now and then. Come and do pedicure now and then. But only after the break. 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. It's exactly 10 minutes to 10 o'clock.
Profile interview.
9 minutes after 10 o'clock, my discussion with Linda Sinclair, Chief Executive Officer at Sorbet Group. And this is a profile interview with her. And we're chatting about Sorbet, her life, and many other things in between. I've asked you to feel free to interact with us. And I see that some messages are coming through on 072-702-1702. Here's a voice note.
Hi, Tawen, Linda. Such an amazing person you have in the studio tonight, Tabu. Very inspirational, heartwarming, inspiring, a hardworking person that I've known in my career. Linda and I shared the stage at one of the popular brands or companies in and around South Africa. And yeah, no names mentioned. The amount of inspiration that she portrayed, not only in me, but in the generation of us at the time, it was so phenomenal that she got the results. She kept us going. I'm not surprised to see her where she is right now. And I am sure that she's going to keep on growing and raising the bar even higher. Well done, Linda. Keep going. And yeah, this is Edgar from Kempton Park. Cheers. Bye-bye.
And that's Edgar from Kempton Park, Linda. Such beautiful sentiments.
That is amazing. Hi, Edgar. Lovely to hear from you. And thank you for the positivity and for the positive message. It really means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I look forward to engaging with you soon.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. We were talking about getting a different segment of the market. Men walking into, walking through sorbet doors. What does that mean? The challenges that come with that. It's not as easy. It's not business as usual, as you would have with women. And I would assume the demands and the dynamics are different.
It's actually interesting because I think over the years, I think women are putting more pressure on men to groom than what they are doing. So,
yes.
So I think that's what, you know, men are understanding the benefits of grooming. Mm. And I think the women are also putting pressure, as I said. But yeah, you know, our sorbet man stores, we've got 20 of them around the country, and growing. And it's a phenomenal experience when you go in there. Mm. It really, we've created what we call a man cave.
Yes.
Where we create an environment where men feel comfortable to groom and to deal with their various grooming needs. Mm. And, you know, we've set up our salons to do just that. They're very masculine. You know, we offer beers. We talk about sport. We talk about politics. Even the women, the therapists talk about women to the men. And I think, you know, those types of engagements are very different than what you find in a female beauty, you know, grooming space. But yet the philosophy is still the same.
Yes.
Females want to look good and feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what the beauty industry brings. And so do men. You know, they also want to feel good and look good about and feel good about themselves through their grooming processes. But yeah, we've tweaked our offering to deal with the male side of grooming. Mm. What we offer, whether it's ingrown hair treatments, whether it's shaves, waxing, facial waxing, body waxing, haircuts, hot towel shaves, all of those good things, you know, that really suit the male grooming side of the industry or of what men want, as well as manicures and pedicures.
Sure.
But also, you know, I think the retail side of our offering is also so prevalent and we're finding more and fantastic male grooming brands coming to the forefront, that we are offering within our male grooming space. Funny enough, we sell Dermalogica, in both our Sorbet Man and our salon space, and it's both the fastest selling retail brand in both of those salons.
Yeah.
But we've got specific, you know, beard care, hair care, skin care products for men because we understand men are all about no fuss.
Yeah.
Quick, simple.
Yeah.
I want to get the job done in and out.
Leave.
And don't give me a range of five different products to use that I've got to try and remember which product goes where and at what time of the day. You know, give me the simple solution to my grooming needs. And, you know, we've been able to tailor our offering around Sorbet Man to do just that. And the experience is phenomenal in our Sorbet Man stores.
I want to ask you before we leave about Sorbetpreneur and what that really means and how it develops those in the community of sorbet.
So we're so proud of what we've just launched, which is our Sorbetpreneur initiative. We engaged with Bidvest Bank about 18 months ago, and they approached us to say, how do we create opportunities for the youth and for young women within the beauty industry to become business owners? You know, we understand that the beauty industry contributes about 9 billion rand to the GDP of South Africa.
That's huge.
And, you know, as I said previously, it's predominantly an industry that's for women, run by women. Yes, there's a big male grooming sector that's coming to the forefront. And, you know, together with Bidvest Bank, they wanted to look at innovative ways to fund young black women in the beauty industry. And it's a no-brainer. We are the leading beauty brand within South Africa. And we've got a very similar philosophy and mindset around people and development of people and creating entrepreneurs and opportunities for people to fulfill their dreams and fulfill their business dreams. So the alignment with Bidvest Bank was absolutely incredible. It was kind of a meeting of minds, a meeting of philosophies, and a meeting of culture. And, you know, we've created what we call Sorbetpreneur, which is really offering our citizens that work within us, our 3,000 citizens, it was offering them the opportunity to own their own franchise. And, you know, we realize that the biggest stumbling block or hurdle for people to own their own business is around how do you get access to finance and how do you get access to financing your business and setting up your business.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to go around the country and I still go around the country, not used to, always go around the country.
Yeah.
And whenever I engage with our citizens, they say to me, Linda, I want to to become a franchise partner, but I just don't have the funds to do that. And Bidvest Bank stepped in. They understood that to create opportunities, you need funding. Mm. And they have put up the funding for the unencumbered portion as a grant, as well as providing the balance in terms of a business loan, which has been absolutely phenomenal. So we ran a competition across our citizens. We had 75 applications. So it just showed you how excited and entrepreneurial our citizens and the appetite for it. Yeah. And we've got incredible talent within our business. Yeah. And we went through a competition, kind of a presentation, like a Dragon's Den type format, where they had to come and present to Bidvest Bank, ourselves. And we also had an independent entrepreneur as part of the judging panel. And they had to obviously present their case as to why they should be the next franchise partner to obviously get the funding from Bidvest Bank to do so.
Yeah.
So we went from 75 applicants, we narrowed it down to our top 14, and our top 14 came and presented their business case to us. And we were very proud to announce our top four winners International Women's Day on the 8th of March.
Yes.
And we now have four beautiful women, very, very talented women, that we will now be putting into our business as franchise partners.
Mm.
And they have now got the opportunity to create opportunities and employment opportunities for other people that they've been given in their life. And they're transferring those skills onto. But I think the most important part of what the Sorbetpreneur Initiative does is the mentorship part of it, because you know, it's easy to find a store, it's easy to raise the funding with the likes of Bidvest Bank, but it's how do you create successful franchise partners? And we've got a very rigorous mentorship program that's been spearheaded by African Pursuit as well. Three South African businesses, three businesses run by women, and really, how do we create those opportunities for women in the South African space?
We certainly have to leave it at that.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, I loved every second of chatting to you. I wish you the best, particularly with empowering women to enter the space and create opportunities for others. That's a big part of growing an economy, and we shouldn't take it lightly. Linda,
thank you.
It's been fantastic chatting to you.
It's been
we
amazing.
Wish you the very best, and we hope you move from strength to strength.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Linda Sinclair, CEO at Sorbet Group.